Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
Most farmers in this province wear many hats. It's always been the nature of the business, requiring different kinds of know-how and expertise. And that's continuing to evolve as farms become increasingly high-tech. Drew Spoelstra knows that well. He is a dairy farmer, and he's also president of the Ontario Federation of Agriculture. And he joins us now for more on the state of farming today and into the future. Drew, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me,
Are you relatively new at the OFA as the president?
As the president, yeah, about 3 months. Been on the board for about 10 years.
Okay, good stuff. You've got a family operation in Binbrook, just south of Hamilton?
That's right,
What goes on there?
We have a dairy and grain farm, milk about 60 cows, and just recently moved into a new robotic facility about 2 weeks ago. Work a couple thousand acres, corn, soybeans, wheat, and hay, raise some beef cattle and Clydesdale horses and three little girls.
Any Budweiser commercials with those Clydesdales?
No Budweiser commercials yet.
Not yet. What is, now you're a family farm, right?
That's right.
What generation are you?
I consider myself second generation, and my parents started the business.
Okay.
And my wife and I are now coming into it and working alongside them.
38,000 family farms across Ontario. What's the biggest problem they all have in common?
There's lots of challenges in farming, lots of opportunity and optimism in farming as well. Some of the challenges right now, impacts of inflation, cost of production, rising cost of interest, mental health, lots of challenges across the farming sector. But I don't think there's anything we can't overcome, and hopefully we're working towards trying to find some solutions for those things.
That is the can-do spirit you hear from farmers all the time, isn't it? Doesn't matter what the weather is, how bad it is, you can do it at the end of the day.
You have to be an optimist in the business. Yeah.
What about access to labor? Can you get enough people?
Certainly labor is a challenge as well. You know, we have solutions, I think, through temporary worker programs and things like that, but there are a ton of unfilled positions every year in this industry. And some of that, I think, is being replaced with technology. But some of those jobs just aren't getting done because we don't have the labor and don't have access to labor in rural areas.
And the consequences of not being able to get access to that labor are what?
It's lost revenue for the farm business, basically.
Lost revenue meaning you could do better if you had more people. Is that
sure.
the gist of it?
Sure. You can produce more, sell more produce. Things like that. So.
Okay. What can you tell us about why you thought taking over the family farm business was the right move for you? Because obviously a lot of second and or third generation people are taking a pass on that option. What did you see?
Well, farming's always been in my blood. It's always been something I want to do. You have to have a passion for it or, you know, really there's no sense getting into it. Nobody wants to get those calls in the middle of the night to go out and check on a cow or check on a horse or, you know, finish off this field here or there. So you really have to want to do the job. You have to have a love for it. And it's been bred into me. It's something that I've always done throughout my life from a very young age, been involved with the farm. And I never had any other ideas on things that I wanted to do. Not everybody's in that boat. Lots of people leave the farm for other opportunities. And, you know, that's certainly fine. But we're doing our best, I think, to talk a lot about succession planning and ways to bring the next generation back to the farm. And, you know, finding ways to support those intergenerational transfers and finding ways to support the farm business sustainably going forward into the future.
What time does your day start every day?
All depends on the day. When the robot calls now, I'm up at 5 o'clock because it didn't do something it was supposed to do, or a cow's not doing something they're supposed to do. But typically, you know, 6 o'clock every day.
Well, that's not completely outrageous.
No, it's not.
You're not milking the cows at 4 a.m.
No. Lots of times, though, you know, we'll go all night if we have to beat a rainstorm or to get ahead of the next weather pattern or to get this field done or that job done. So,
do you have siblings?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
How was it decided that you were going to take over the family farm instead of one of them?
They've never been involved with the farm like I have. So one's a teacher, one's in construction, and I ended up being the farmer.
So more process of elimination than anything.
Yeah,
you didn't have to fight them for it.
No.
Okay, got it. Are there, you know, as we suggested, not every family is in the same circumstances as yours, in as much as there isn't always that next generation ready to take over or who want to take over. So when that happens, What happens to those farms?
Well, typically, you know, farmers are always looking for someone, you know, to bring into the business. Farmers have a lot of pride in their operations. I think they're always looking for that opportunity to bring someone in, to pass it down to, even if it's not their own children, to someone else that's interested in the business. Ultimately, if that can't be facilitated, they sell the farm.
I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Are a lot of these farms turning into future housing developments or condos or whatever?
If they're in the right area, certainly, yeah. There's a lot of pressure on farmland from other uses.
What do you think of that?
Well, obviously, we'd like to see farmland remain farmland. Our slogan at OFA is Farms and Food Forever. It's an important part of daily living. Lots of people like to eat three times a day, and we need to continue to produce food here, food fiber and fuel and flowers in Ontario for that to happen. So, you know, we'd like to see farms stay in farmland, but we understand there is a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure on housing. And, you know, certainly the government is, I think, doing their best to try and find solutions for housing. That includes also housing in rural areas. We've talked a lot with the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing about building up our rural areas instead of expanding them out. And that ensures we have places for people to live and people in rural areas that want to fill those jobs on farm.
Do you think there's anything that either the Federation that you represent or the governments of the day can do to ensure that farmland stays farmland?
Sure. Well, we can implement policies that are there to protect farmland for the long-term foreseeable future. You know, we can make sure that we do our best to build better, higher density housing. That we intensify our cities, our urban areas, inside of our urban boundaries.
So this is not an insoluble problem?
No, I don't think so. I think there's lots of solutions.
Okay. You mentioned something a couple of times here, and I let it skate by the first couple of times, but I want to pick up on it now. We don't necessarily think of, well, put it this way. I mean, I'm from Hamilton, and I don't necessarily think of a farm in Binbrook, just south of Hamilton, as being sort of on the cutting edge of robotics and AI. But you've just made an investment in robotics on your farm, right?
That's right.
What are you doing?
So we built a brand new dairy facility. We have robotic milking, automated feeding, and automated manure collection in our barn. So, you know, a cow has free choice to the robot to be milked whenever she wants during the day. And I was looking at some of the data yesterday. Our top visit cow is going through about 4.5 times a day versus the 2 times a day she would have been milked in our own barn, our old barn, sorry. So,
what'd that cost you?
It's significant, yeah. The whole project, close to $3
million. $3 million. Where'd you get the money for that?
We borrowed it.
And do you have any doubts about being able to make that work for you?
Not right now, no. I mean, we've been able to obviously access that funding because of the size of our operation and you know, the collateral that we have to put up. My parents have been in business for 40 years, so it's not like we're just jumping in.
No, but my guess is your dad never considered a day would come when robotics would be a part of the operation on that family farm.
No.
So how's everybody adjusting to that?
It's a process for sure. It's as much about training the farmer as it is about training the cows. But we've incorporated a lot of technology into our farm over the past 20 years as new technologies have become available. Precision agriculture is a huge thing in the agriculture business right now. And you know, we've worked a lot with GPS technology, with GPS mapping on the field side, and now we're making those investments into our dairy side, you know, to see better returns in the future and, you know, hopefully a better work-life balance in the barn with the robot milking the cows versus us. And, you know, I can spend some more time hopefully with my family when I'm home that's a way to get that next generation involved as well. My wife can now go to the barn, take care of things on her own if she has to, you know, while we're out working in the field or doing something else.
Got it. My last 20 seconds here. You know, we got an Ontario budget coming up later this month. What do you want to see in there for farmers?
I'd like to see continued investment in infrastructure, you know, roads, bridges, broadband, cellular coverage, mental health, social services across rural areas. We need to get people out there in rural areas to fill those jobs like we talked about before, and that requires strong infrastructure investment in those communities. Investment in risk management program is you know, key for farmers going forward. We've had some pretty successful years the last few years because of higher commodity prices, but we're seeing sort of a downturn in that right now. And things like the risk management program will hopefully help some of us get through some of the harder times that we might have coming.
March 26 is budget day. We'll keep an eye out and see if any of that's in there.
Looking forward to it.
Drew Spolstra, President, Ontario Federation of Agriculture. Drew, thanks for making the trip into TVO for us tonight. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Steve.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.